In our very first episode of IT Unplugged, we're going to dig into why we got into IT.
At M2 Technology, we're on a mission to make IT accessible to everyone. Join us on our journey to demystify the ever-evolving world of business technology. Are you ready to get unplugged?
Welcome to IT Unplugged. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Mike.
And in IT Unplugged, we are going to break down IT topics and make it so it's not so intimidating. So today, we're going to kind of just dig in a little bit to why we got into IT. So Mike, why don't you start out? What got you interested in IT?
When I was looking forward in high school, I wanted a job that would grow as different needs and the landscape change, and looked like technology was that way. A couple years into that, after school, I discovered consulting, and I really liked seeing people and dealing with people's different issues in different industries. So that's where we are.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like IT has kind of that perception, like you're going to be behind a computer all day long and not interact with people. And you kind of brought up that you liked the consulting and working with people. Like, did you have that perception about IT when you kind of picked that you weren't going to be interacting with people every day? Like, did it take you by surprise at all?
It was more so the expectation of the first job you get is going to be help desk somewhere. You know, you're going to be taking calls all day and you're going to have hundreds of people that are just calling you with broken printers and they can't, you know, their screen doesn't work. And that was a little disappointing to hear, because as a high schooler, you're like, oh, I'm working on the coolest stuff all the time, and I'm going to work for, you know, NVIDIA, and I'm going to be making GPUs and building computers and doing fun stuff. And then you get to school and you're like, that's not how it is now. Like, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to be sitting in a cave rotting somewhere, hating life. And then the first company I worked for was a consulting company for dental customers only. Mm-hmm. And getting around the different offices all day and driving and influencing purchasing decisions and seeing doctors and staff, and that was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be consulting because I can't just sit in one spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm just kind of curious, you mentioned that help desk kind of stuff. Did you have your period of time where you were the guy fixing printers and taking all the tickets and stuff, or did you kind of get to skip that?
The same type of work, I guess you could say, except never was a stationary help desk. Always have been in a consulting role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the great things about getting to consult with people is IT isn't necessarily one of those things that everybody knows about. And you know, like, people need a lot of help. My background, I didn't come from IT, right? So I was a teacher and ran some businesses. So I kind of understand the business side of it. But then when it comes to IT, it's a lot of tech jargon that coming into this role, I really had to learn a lot. What do you think makes a successful kind of teacher and consultant when it comes to IT?
Well, everyone kind of fits, at least I think this, everyone kind of fits into one of three different buckets. And it's kind of like the two ends of the spectrum is you actually do know a lot about technical things. The other end is you know absolutely nothing. And then the person in the middle is somebody that knows maybe like topics or words and maybe not connecting the dots. And they're the most dangerous person because they'll maybe have confidence to go try to do something and then really mess it up. And then they call you and then, you know, it's a difficult thing to try to explain how to do something to them, because then they're going to try to go run with it next time and perhaps do it correct, perhaps not. I guess for training or for teaching, somebody that's willing to explain a technical issue at a non-technical level is always beneficial. Same with a hands-on example of it.
Sure.
So if you're talking about, you know, certain networking lingo, to not just talk about it, to be able to show it or log into the portal where that lives, and then you can better explain, a VLAN or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just hearing you say that, those examples, I feel like I've seen some of those people in the field, those different buckets. But then even the scene aspect, I know, learning just as you go kind of from the sales and marketing side, it's a lot of, okay, I've heard them say that word 3 or 4 times now, but I've never seen it. And then when you actually pull it up for the first time, sometimes it connects the dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very beneficial.
Yeah. So I think those buckets of people are always interesting that you're talking about when it comes to, hey, I don't know anything about IT. The next one, of course, being like, I think I know about IT, or I'm going to pretend like I know a little bit about IT, being the dangerous one, and then essentially the person that, you know, is well-versed in it. What do you think you run into most when it comes to dealing or helping and consulting with customers?
The completely unexperienced or the middle? Mm-hmm. The middle, a lot of times, being like a technical contact that we'd have on site somewhere. So perhaps like a dealership, an auto dealership customer, they would have someone that's technical in, you know, sales. And the person that we would first contact for an issue would be that technical person who happens to be also a salesperson. So they're not their IT person. They just are a technically skilled or like a smart set of hands that you can have do something for you. To save you from driving across the state to unplug something.
Sure. And I love that term, like technical resource, because we're talking about somebody. And at first, when I came in at IT and we talk about a technical resource, I'm like, oh, that's somebody that's in IT. That's somebody that knows how to do this. But I've found a lot of technical resources in different departments in the company that have never worked in IT at all. They were just had a hobby, or maybe they are sometimes the youngest person, you know,
more often than not, that's exactly what it is. It's you're somebody young that's on their phone frequently. Like, you must be techie.
Yeah. So that's good to have somebody like that though, at least on staff, right?
Yeah. It's very beneficial. If the entire staff is completely unskilled in the technical department, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
We can make that work. It's kind of nice to work someone up to a point where they at least feel comfortable. You know, hey, can you follow this blue cable for me? Oh, yeah. Not like, oh, I don't, they're blue. Oh, there's a black one. And there's a blue. Yeah, it's back there. It's plugged into something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything smoother.
Yeah. Have you experienced, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but anybody that you've come across that like, you really feel like they've become a real technical resource from the first time that you kind of work with them, that, you know, oh yeah, they kind of know what they're doing, but now it's almost like a trusted partner in the business?
Yeah, for sure. Probably three quarters of the people that are at one point smart hands.
Mm-hmm.
you can, at least the way it's explained, ideally you explain it very slowly and easily the first time, and then maybe if you're doing the same exact, or you're having them do the same exact thing, you know, two times later or the next time or a year from now, it's easy to reference back to that. Like, okay, remember when you were working on Greg's computer and we did this thing? Yeah. So we're going to do just like that, except this is different because, you know, like it's this issue. Oh, okay. Yeah. That helps a lot. And to where that would kind of be an issue is if you start working with somebody and then, you know, in the first week that we're onboarding you, you have a massive outage, you have a massive issue. You kind of just have to be there, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. But it'd be nice if you could have somebody that has some kind of like smart hands or ability to FaceTime you, and you can kind of see what's going on to try something before you drive over there, which is fine to drive over there, but speeds things up. If it's potentially a quick solution,
mm-hmm.
that always helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's like kind of talks as well about looking after your customers. If you can solve something, you know, over a phone call or with a set of technical hands rather than driving there and, you know, maybe saving them on an hourly rate or something, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? So I also think it's a cool way to get people engaged in your company in a different way, right? Because everybody wants to develop and, you know, move on to new things. So for a lot of companies that maybe are just saying, hey, I don't know where to start with IT, it's a great idea to get somebody that might be a little bit interested in it. Almost, I mean, it's not this, but kind of a mini apprenticeship and saying, hey, you know, why don't you work with our MSP or IT provider?
It's helpful when the person's excited about it too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're convincing somebody that they're now partially responsible for something at their business, it's maybe less exciting. But when somebody's, you know, kind of techie or they're kind of into computers and they've played with something in the past, it's a lot easier to get them on board with being willing to troubleshoot something if needed or to assist you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, not, I would say not every IT provider really has that consultative nature, or it's hard to find IT talent that sometimes has that, right? Because, you know, sometimes they just want to go in and fix the thing, and that's it. So what do you think kind of, like, helped you or really appeals to you about that consultative nature and helping people?
I say it probably 5 times a week. The most technical or the most, you know, nerdy thing about me is I happen to work in tech, and I like it a lot, but that just like personal or normal person approach is helpful for the customer. How I learned to, you know, school or high school, we're talking way back when I was a kid or whatever, is real experience. Mm-hmm. So if I explain a technical issue to someone that has no idea what's going on, but I want them to know what's happening, in a very basic and an easy to understand level, maybe related to something that they do know, something in their industry, the customer or most people just kind of seem to like that. I mean, no different than if your mechanic comes out, right? And they're like, you know, this doodad's squeaking and then this has to get replaced and you're a quart low, right? And you're like, I don't know. Like, what is, sure. Like, is my car working or is it not? You know, I have oil. Like, what is going on? It's easier to explain in terms they'll understand. And then maybe that person's going to be more on board with, you know, what you bring to them in the future, like a new offering or just a better idea of a way to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I laugh because the mechanic is a place that when they come out, I do that exact thing. I'm like, I don't know what you just said. But the thing is, I actually use a local mechanic around here. And we've been going to him for like the last 10 years. And when he tells me something is wrong, essentially I'm like, yeah, I trust you. Just fix it, because we built that relationship over time. How much do you think that relationship plays into people, you know, eventually just trusting what you're doing?
That's the goal with every customer, is to try to feel like we're on staff, or to try to have them feel like we're on staff. But, you know, you don't pay for our insurance. We don't have a desk. We're not clogging up a desk at your office. And, you know, you contact us when you have an issue. Ideally, you do not have issues. Mm-hmm. Like, we do our job so well that you never have issues and we never hear from anybody. That's perfect. But that's not the case. There's always something, and you know, things change and you need updates and something breaks unexpectedly, or, you know, more security. Advancements come out that now more security is required or something like that. But relationship building is just as important as the, you know, the items of hardware and software that we deploy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it really comes down to trust. Is, you know, if you can build that, then you're going to be successful. So, yeah, absolutely. So we kind of talked a little bit about customers that are maybe in those first two buckets. Yep. What about dealing with like a super technical customer? I know you've dealt with, you know, directors of IT and stuff. How does that kind of differ when it comes to that partnership? Because, you know, they're understanding everything you're saying as you go through.
The explanation of an issue is more technical, obviously, and it's convenient at times, less convenient at most times, but convenient at times, because if there's just a, you know, real quick, hey, this thing is wrong and this is what I'm going to do to fix it. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yep. Cool. Yeah. Didn't think of that. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of times that person is in a role where we're supplementing their existing IT. So if, again, like a dealership has an internal IT, maybe they handle their day-to-day and they understand that, you know, they have a network and they've got different VLANs for things, for phones and security and computers and whatever, but they don't really know how the VLANs talk to each other, what it is besides Googling it, and, you know, how to build it. So that's where we come in, and we kind of manage that for them. Kind of the only spot that where it would be like extremely inconvenient is if you start to butt heads with the person and their view of how something should be built out or deployed is this way, and, you know, we don't think that's the best idea. Sure. Maybe that's a little dated, or maybe it'll work totally fine, but, you know, XYZ example of their network, why it maybe isn't the best idea. You can butt heads, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because sometimes when, like, you work with clients in different ways, right? So if you have a client that doesn't know anything and they're bringing on as a full consultant, then it's like, hey, I really suggest you do it this way because you're really responsible for what it looks like. They can always say yes or no, but at the same time, when you have that director level and you're supplementing, it's kind of their show, and you're doing the best that you can to support them, even if it's not necessarily exactly what you agree with.
Yep.
So, cool, interesting. Did you ever think about getting into anything else other than IT?
Nah. Well, I think that most high school boys want to do something, you know, like badass, right? And you're like, I'm gonna be a police officer, a firefighter, or jump out of planes and do this and, you know, whatever. And it's, I mean, sure, but not necessarily anything pursued professionally.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you worked at a, you know, IT and dental. How long have you been in IT now?
Graduated school in 2014. So this is the start of, at some month range here, I think in a couple months, is the start of 10th year.
Okay. So what's, do you prefer being in kind of that one, we'll say like niche or vertical, like dentistry, or do you like to kind of, like, what's the benefit of branching out into other things?
Work with all industries, but what's kind of convenient about working with a few core industries is you get to know the ins and outs really well.
Mm-hmm.
So dentistry specifically, I've worked with dental for a very long time. So, well, the entire time I've worked in IT professionally. So I have a great enough feel for the size of a practice and the practice's needs that can quite confidently work with dentists all day and have no issue. Like you just know, you know the lingo, you know what goes where, kind of the pecking order, and that really helps, especially when you're talking to them for the first few times, to build confidence and build trust with them. If they know that you know the lingo, you know, you're not just like a random IT person that's coming in and then trying to learn dental. That helps a lot. Same with any other industry that you have multiple customers of. Same thing, just applied to a different industry. I mean, you learn the lingo, you learn the ins and outs, you kind of know how things roll, and you start to have a lot more trust built there. Not, you know, we don't exclude ourselves from any industry. We work with all different types of industries, but I like small medical, small medical practice, dental, that type of thing, and dealerships.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's speaking the language is a big thing, you know, especially when you're talking about trust and you have, as somebody that's a little bit new to IT, you know, so, you know, being here the last 9 months and learning different industries, the language differs drastically from one to the next. So you have your IT language, but then, you know, you're talking about the dentistry software specifically that you're using, and then you go into a nonprofit and they have, you know, budgetary cycles that are different than something like a dentist or healthcare, and then you get into manufacturing, there's special certifications and 24/7 and just so many different aspects to it. So do you ever feel like, I this might be a little bit of a leading question, but, you know, do you ever feel like you stop learning when it comes to IT?
That, I mean, no, but the hesitation comes from an industry specific, is kind of yes, but IT as a whole, no. I mean, you're always learning something every day, and like you said, certifications like NIST compliance or, you know, something like that for manufacturing changes so frequently. Yep. What is compliant and what is not, that you can't, you have to keep up to speed with that. But, where you could say yes is from the lingo side or from the process of how to make a specific change for a piece of dental software. Yeah. I mean, once you figured it out and once you've done it dozens and dozens of times, over, you know, X amount of years, that process is essentially the exact same as it was, you know, in 2015, with a newer version slapped on the end of it. And that's kind of convenient, but on the same hand, it's like kind of boring, right? So if you're upgrading Dentrix for 5 offices that you work with at all of Dentrix, and the release came out February 4th, so you're doing it, you know, this Friday, seems like a pretty safe time to update, no problem. You're doing that same installation for the 4 offices, you know, maybe they each have 10 chairs, 40 times in one day, right? So you can get that process down pretty quick. that part of it, you know, is kind of boring, but
yeah. Has there been anything in IT? Like, what's the most surprising thing being in this field that you've kind of seen? And I know I'm putting you on the spot with this, but what's like the most surprising thing moving into IT and just working here?
The awareness, a handful of things, but the most surprising, probably the awareness of, hey, we need security. Mm-hmm. You know, we have hundreds of employees. We need great security. There's a lot of different aspects to security. Maybe it's a firewall. We have antivirus. We have a backup. We've got all these things. We need all these things. But can we please just like no multi-factor? You know, I don't want that because yeah. I've got to pull up my phone and then you press accept. Like that's just too much. Or I can't believe that I have to change my password more than once a year. Like it's ridiculous. I just can't believe that. Or the password length or password complexity. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, somebody really wants their password to be like spring 2024. And
yeah.
You're like, but you just put all this money into an investment to like your router and you got, you know, great antivirus and you upgraded your backup because you needed more storage capacity. And, you know, you guys are doing all these great things in manufacturing, but you want me to change your email password to spring 2024?
Like, sure.
I mean, you pay our invoice, so I will, but I strongly advise against that.
The funny thing is that a previous company I worked for, we had to change our passwords 4 times a year, and the suggested was that exact thing. It was fall 2022 exclamation point, you know, winter 2022 exclamation point.
Or your hire date, right?
Yeah, you know, it's something crazy like that.
July 31st, 2024.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic password.
Absolutely. So, well, Mike, I just want to say thanks so much for chatting with me today and kind of learning a little bit more about why you got into IT and some of the different people that you come across. So, it was really helpful.
Yeah.
All right.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been IT Unplugged. Thanks for tuning in.